These all died in the faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Well, this world's not my home. Thank God I'm just a passing through. Hebrews 12:1, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And it says this, it says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. I want to preach a little while on running faithful. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and starting in the 24th verse, going to the 27th. Know ye not that they which run the race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain. I plan on making it. I plan on making heaven my home. And every man that striveth for the mastery is tempered in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it under subjection, lest that by any means which when I have preached to others, I myself should become a castaway. Verse 24, know ye not that they which run the race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain. I'm preaching tonight on I'm going to run faithful. I began this race at 18 years of age, and it's been the harshest endurance test that man will ever face. And we've had some people saved here lately. And thank God you can make it. The devil may get upset. And Brother Ben Shaw preached great last night. And I'm like that. I don't ever give the devil no credit. I remember years ago, one of our deacons stood up and said, if that sister keeps testifying like that and giving the devil, just telling how hard it is to live for God, always giving a sad song, you know what? She was always in and out. And now she's out. And I prayed many a prayer for her. Yes, it may look bad, but thank God, just keep on running. Just stay faithful. There's been a lot that's passed me up. And I thought, boy, they'll do something for God. But you know what? After a while, they sat down by the wayside. They started picking up weights. Here come Mike and Mark. Glory to God. I've never run a mile in my life. I've never been able to run a mile. They told me you get your second wind. I never run that far till I could get my second wind. I always got so winded, I thought I'd die. But I've walked many a mile. Hallelujah. I've been out there baling hay before where I thought I was going to almost die. But you know what? The Lord has come by. I testified here one night when I first got saved about loading trucks and unloading trucks. And it was a very hot day. I had given my life to the Lord. I was working and praising God. And I'm telling you, I thought I was going to pass out in that truck. But you know what? I just kept on working faithful. I stepped out on the dock. And I said, God, would you give me a little bit of strength? A cool breeze began to blow. And I stood there praising God on that receiving dock. You all didn't shout. Nobody run the aisles. But I said, thank you, God. I was doing my best and being faithful. And you come by and you give me the strength to go another hour and another day. And thank God, it's now been 19 years. There's been a lot passed me up. We had a great preachers here, but I don't care about great preaching. Give me a burden. Give me somebody that when they preach them into the altar is going to work that altar. Give me somebody that when they preach to you and they skin your hide, they love you. Now, I don't know how this is going to fit in, but I was shaving downstairs the day in the fellowship hall, and we brought Brother Rex Lloyd down Thursday morning. Me and Brother Rex come in here. He's got the equipment to tune the piano. He says, you're not very far out. But he said, I'd like to do it for you. Well, he has been working full time this summer, making $100 a week, not making very much. And just, anyway, just doing his best for the Lord. And I fell in love with Rex Lloyd. I really love that brother. And he's a great man. He got a burden. And anyway, he came down on his own time. I talked to some other people. So I wrote him a check out of the youth fund for as an offering from the youth fund to the church to get the piano back in tune. And you know what? I can hear when something's in tune, Brother Rob. I've got an ear. Now, it ain't the best ear, but I can hear when that key is getting ready to get in. And I'd sit there and he'd be over there. And you know, brother, hallelujah, sometimes when God gets the twisting on me, it ain't because he's tuning me up to suit Brother Ben Shaw, but he's got a standard, glory to God. And Brother Rod, Brother Rex had a standard. He had a machine, and I could hear that old string. It was a winding up. And it was getting closer and closer to being in tune. Why? Because there's a standard. It's called being in standard. It's called being in standard tune. I've had my harmonicas, and I've been into churches before. I couldn't even get my harmonicas out, and they missed the blessing, Sister Carol, because the piano was 2 and 3 octaves off, or what, keys off. I even tried to find them. I thought, well, I'll find them in a flat. I'll find them in a sharp. I'll find them playing the key of D. I'll try to pick them up in A or E flat. I couldn't find them nowhere because my harmonicas are tuned to standard. And I'm trying to tell you, as I was getting shaving today, sometimes it seems like it's getting a little bit tough. But hallelujah, we're setting ourselves up by the standard. We're trying to run faithful. Sometimes it seems like it gets a little rough. Ah, hallelujah. They asked me what I wanted to say about Brother Collins and put it on that little piece of paper. And I thought, Brother Ron, I thought about the time when I wasn't running as faithful as I should be. Now, he wasn't asking me to get out there and lead the pack. I never got to win a race in my life when I was a boy. When we had chicken fights, I was always on the bottom. I never knew the thrill of getting to ride on top and do the fighting. I was always the pack horse. When we built a pyramid, me and Mark was always on the bottom. I never knew what it's like to be on top. But thank God you've got to have a good foundation. Thank God you've got to start somewhere and just let me be in the race. But you know what? I was slacking. And your friend and my pastor, I had prayed. Just running faithful. I remember having my hair halfway over my ears. Brother Collins didn't pick me out and blast me. He let me grow. I remember one night in the altar, the Lord, after some of our young people had got a haircut and Brother Collins had them stand, and the whole church gave him a hand clap. I went to the altar that night and God said, you could do better. I was saved. I was on my way to heaven. But you know what? I need to get a little bit of trim. And I could do a lot better when I get that wind resistance off and get it above my ears. I go to the barber now. He said, how you want it cut? I said, give me some of those. Give me some. Glory. I said, give me some of those way up above my ear. I said, go ahead and cut it up high. I said, I want it. It grows down so fast anyway. I said, give me a good haircut every time I come out from the barber. Norma says, you've got too much taken off. I said, all right. We're just getting a little bit more of our money's worth. Oh, glory to God. But you know what? I got my hair cut. And I felt like I was so closer to God. And I was doing good. Just kept on running. I just run. One man down at Brother William Strickland's meeting told me, said, Brother Barker, he comes shouting to me. The Holy Ghost is moving. Brother Lloyd Shoecraft is preaching. I mean, if you ever been in that church, it's a big church. And power of God was moving. He came to me from Alabama, shouting to me. Said, God said to run. He grabbed my hand. When he grabbed my hand, the power of God hit me. And I started shouting. Now, they say I shout like I'm getting shot by 220 or 440. Hallelujah. Something just grabs a hold of me, and I just go to shaking. Oh, hallelujah. But I had me a shout. When I come out of my shout, he said, Brother Barker, God said still to run. I said, well, if God said to run, I'll run. So I took off around that church, made a lap and a half. When I come back, my knee started hurting. It hurt the whole rest of the meeting. I said, brother, next time God tells you to have me run, I ain't going to listen to you. I'm going to listen to God. I may run tonight. I may run the back of the pews if I feel led of God. But I've got enough sense to better be sure I'm in the Spirit. You know what? There's a lot of people want you to do a little bit more for God. But why don't you just listen to the Spirit of God? You know the voice of God. It may seem like the pastor is preaching right to you. And if God's talking to you, well, he's a preacher. God's a tuning you up. God's a saying you can lay a few things down. You can run a little faster. And they asked me to write down a few little things and a few of my little thoughts about my pastor, who's been my pastor since 1980 when I got saved. And I thought about the time after I'd gotten my hair cut and thought I was doing pretty good. I prayed, working on the dock. I said, "Lord, I'd like to get to go to camp meeting this year." I got laid off for 2 weeks, right in the middle of summer. When it happened to me, I got sad, and I called Brother Collins and said, "Man, I got laid off." It didn't even dawn on me that I'd been praying to get to go to camp meeting. He said, "Get ready, we're going to go to camp meeting." I got ready and got down on my knees to pray for church. God said, "What'd you ask for?" I said, "I asked to go to camp meeting." He said, "You're on your way." Well, he got me in the car on the way to Indiana, and he began to preach a message to me. And was he ever skin and hide? And it was my hide. And it wasn't nobody looking around to see if he was talking to anybody else, because I was his only member, and I was the only one the message was directed at. But he was telling me I could do better. He said, "How are you going to preach faithfulness when you're not even faithful half the time yourself?" He said, "You take every excuse and you lay out of church." I said, "Oh God, I thought I was doing pretty good." But he's right. He's right. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, I plan on making it. It's been a little bit rough. It's a little bit tight. I didn't get mad, throw my hands up, and say, "I'll never ride back with him to another camp meeting. I'll never step foot in his church again." I went to the altar and I said, "God, help me. Help me, God." I determined in my heart that I was going to make it. And I was told by the devil so much that you'll quit and you'll not make it. I fought that every time. And I said, "Devil, I will prove you a liar like you've always been." Thank God. My own youth leader said I wouldn't make it. That's what he said, Rob. I've never told you that yet. I've been encouraging you. I asked about a man tonight that's not in this house of God. He's got a good excuse. But I told his wife, I said, he's running out of excuses. Glory to God. You better quit laying out of church. You better, oh, glory to God, let one of the jobs go. Hallelujah. What's it going to take to get God to get a hold of your heart and get you back in the race? My youth leader said, "You will not make it unless you change your ways." I said, "He is right." Now he gets me in camp meetings. And he said, "You see Brother Barker back there?" He said, "I talked straight to him." But he said he went to the altar and prayed through, and now he's a holiness preacher. Well, holiness preacher don't make me nothing better than a Sunday school teacher. But thank God I'm still in the race. Thank God I'm in the body. Can I tell you, I don't care where you feel like you fit in this body, you are needed. I talked to one of the sisters and the brothers last night, husband and wife, out in the parking lot. I was reminding them how God spoke to me in Kentucky about the storm they were going through. Their boy was sick, looked like he wasn't going to make it. I told Sister Shockley and Brother Shockley last night, I said, I don't ever forget what God spoke to me when I questioned him. And I said, "God, why them?" And God said, "They are faithful and they can handle it." And that's what God said. The boy, I asked him last night, I said, "Glenn, I want to hear you testify again what God done for you." The Lord appeared to him in the hospital room. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, the devil might tell you you're out of the race and you're not going to make it. But hold on. You may feel like you're not running as fast as you could, but just hold on. You'll get your strength back again. You'll get your joy back again. You'll run and shout and leap and praise the Lord once again. Just hold on. It's consistency, brother. It's consistency. They've sent me out a few times when we was playing barnyard football. How can five guys get hurt in one time out there playing a pickup game in one afternoon? That's the last time I ever played football with Eddie Harper. I about broke his neck. He said, "Mike, I got to work the next day." Garnet Wayne went away limping. We were playing tag touch football, just having a good old game. I was chasing one of the men on the last play, fell in a gopher hole, dislocated my shoulder. Walked in church all hobbled up. I said, Lord, I was running with all my might. It didn't do me no good. I still fell. I said, Lord, help me in my Christian walk to slow down a little bit. But you know what? There's been a few times playing football, they would trick their other team and send me out as a receiver. Brother Oscar, I never did run very fast, but when I got a hold of the ball, it was hard to stop me. I'd carry 2 and 3 across the goal line. But you know what we mostly did? If they was going to use me, it was behind the lines. They'd hand me the ball, and we'd go about 2 or 3 foot. Then I'd go down as the whole team was on top of my back. But we were gaining ground. We were gaining ground. Hallelujah. You say, I'm just weak tonight, Brother Barker. All right, Brother Gary Grubb seems like he's healthy tonight. Brother Ronnie seems like he's on fire tonight. You say you're a little weak. We'll run blocks for you. We'll help you. Because we're going to move on. And we're going to be victorious. We're not going to let the devil defeat you. We're going to pray one for another. We're going to bear one another's burdens. Lift your hands and praise the Lord. You say, Brother Barker, I don't feel like praising God. Glory to God. We're going to pray with you. We're going to lift you up. We're going to call out God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Well, I'm reading through my notes. Oh, hallelujah. Brother Collins began to sing that song. And I believe it was Sister Brown that first started singing it. I'm a runner from the life. I didn't know if I told you all that, but we went out on our first trip into Virginia this year, preaching at the end of January. I got to go by their church for a service, Sunday morning service. They started at 11 o'clock. Didn't get out till about 2:45. I had to preach that night. It's over near Washington, D.C. They had church. Thank God. There was a man there who's one of the bosses in the FBI. I don't know what they call their supervisors. I just knew that she was Brother and Sister Brown's daughter's boss. He was a Gideon. Me and my wife and 2 girls, and that Gideon and one of his guests were the only white people in that church. They wanted me to wear a visitor's badge. I thought, I don't need no visitor's badge. You know I'm a visitor. Just look around. You know I'm a visitor. But they were shouting. They were running. They were worshiping God. And I watched that Gideon. He was like this. He was like, he didn't know what to think about it. I thought, brother, they're worshiping God. They've been running the race. They fought the devil all week. And they come to praise God. And they come to have church. And that's what I came for this weekend. I came to get closer to God. I came to move up on God. I came to draw closer to God. I want to say, when this weekend's over, I went a little farther on down the road, and I'm running for my life. I'm a running for my life. I'm saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, and fire baptized. Here's the best part. I got Jesus on my side. He's never been defeated. He has never been defeated. Thank God. I got Jesus on my side, and I'm running for my life. When Mike walked into church this morning, I was sitting on the base. I just about started shouting. I thought, thank God. And we better pray for these young converts. Hallelujah. But if they can realize that they're not just running the race, but they're running for their life. It's his life and death. Hallelujah. We've got the best track coach that the world's ever had. Hallelujah. You know why he's where he is today? It's because he listened to God. He's had preachers preach to him. He didn't just get this way. I first got called to preach. Still have such a far way to go. You know, you may not be like this, Brother Shaw, but I can't even stand it by my husband. Listen to me. And she always grazed me. And I preached a sermon one time at a church on the East Coast, and she said, very dry. Oh, What was sad, Gary? I had to say amen. Brother Mike Roberts said, son, if I was you, I'd do everything I could to try not to have many more of them services. And I wasn't at his church when it happened. But I said, Brother Mike, you are right. You are right. But what is it? It ain't nothing we can do. We can study every book. We can read every dead man's thoughts and every dead man's commentary and read every dead man's sermon. But what counts is to get a hold of God and let the power of God come in the service and let people realize here's God, and it's time to tune up, and it's time to lay down, and it's time to move up, and it's time to move on. Get them in a desire to want to draw closer to God. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. One, I tell a lot, one old preacher was very sick. Back 1800s or early 1900s, very, very sick. His wife said, I've had enough of it. She went down to the drugstore, told the pharmacist what was wrong with him. He gave him some stuff, and he recommended she pick up something to take his temperature. He missed the thermometers and picked up a barometer, a mini barometer. She walked into the house. Her husband lying sick, said, here you go. Stuck it under his tongue. Said, leave it under there for about 3 minutes, and I'll be back. Don't remove it. She come back 3 minutes later, pulled it out. It said, very dry and windy. And I said, thank God. I've been there a lot of times. But you know, very dry and windy. All glory to God. Hallelujah. But thank God, let's just keep on running. Let's just keep on running. I'm not trying to move up to your standard. I'm not trying to get you to pat me on the back. Yes, I'd like you to tell me you love me. I'd like you to tell me you're praying for me. I believe encouraging one another. I believe it. But thank God, I want to hear him say, well done. I want to hear him say, well done. I get before the mirror, and I look at myself, and I know that there's so much that I could do better on, but the Lord just keeps telling me, just keep on running. Just keep on running faithful. Just keep on running faithful. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. I've told some of y'all that I'm trying to get a man and his wife who worshiped a Buddha. I got saved. I'm trying to get them to come down for a service on a Friday night and have a special youth gathering and have invite some other churches in. That man was number 5 in the nation in Taekwondo on his way to the Olympics. But he didn't make it. But he got saved, Brother Gary. And now he's working for the Lord. And I seen him down at Richland. He said, Brother Barker, I'm not called to preach. But he said, you know what? I told you this last week. He said, God's let me and my wife go into some Vietnamese churches that don't have a pastor. And most of those Vietnamese have only been in the country for about 3 years. They don't know nobody. And they're very secluded. But he said, God's letting me preach to them and teach to them our Bible standards and Bible doctrine and about all the whole gifts of the gospel and the truth of the gospel. And he said, Brother Barker, I'm not called to preach, but I'm called to work. And I thought, thank God, he's just a running on. But you know what? There's been some distance runners that went to the Olympics. They didn't sit and go out there like I would tomorrow and decide I'm going to run a 26-mile marathon. I wouldn't make it to the first half mile. But they give their life to it. They give their life to it. Daily. Hour after hour after hour. And then one little mistake at the wrong time and they're knocked out. Some of them will never get to go to the Olympics again. All their hopes and all their dreams. But I'm telling you, there's a much higher prize than a gold or a silver or a bronze medal. There's a crown. Glory to God. Hallelujah. There's a home in heaven. Thank God we're running. We're running for our life. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. We're running for our life. Well, I guess I've been called before, ignorant and full of zeal. Didn't cause me to backslide. I'd rather be ignorant full of zeal and heading in the right direction and asking God to give me wisdom every day than sitting on some college campus and listening to some dead professor just tell me everything they can find wrong with our Bible and try to tear down every miracle God's ever done and sit there and be full of man's wisdom and be full of dead men's bones inside and on our way to a devil's hell. I'd rather be full of zeal and ignorant in the world's eyes. And ignorant in the world's eyes. Well, I have been told I'm full of zeal. But I realized a long time ago, Satan's got a lot of obstacles. And years ago, I worked with a man named George Sworn, who was a Miami football player, who was a fullback. Later went into the NFL, in the pro ranks. And I would walk down that aisle. We would set it up. I would go walking. George would come running. And he would just do somebody like going over at a horse when they pole vault. He would hit his arm, his hand would grab the top of my shoulders. He would pole vault me over top of my head, hit the ground still running, me still walking. We worked good together. I ain't got the strength I had then, and he don't either. They don't hear from George Sworn much in Hampton anymore, but I still got people coming up to me and say, are you the same Mike Barker that goes to the highway on us? Yes, sir, I am. Well, we've heard about you a long time ago. Glad to see you're still going on. Well, thank God, Brother Ronnie. I ain't running as fast as everybody else, but I'm still in the race. I'm still in the race. Thank God I'm still in the race. Are you glad you're still in the race tonight? You want to hear a deep illustration? I'm going to close with this. It's real deep now. If you may not get it, Rob, you might want to come and ask the question about it later. You too, brother. Richard. The tortoise and the hare. And the old fable. And the old hare just run off and left the tortoise off the starting line. And he thought he got so far ahead he'd take down, take a little rest, take a little nap. But the old tortoise just kept on running. And he 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 looked over there and seen a sleeping saint sitting on the pew. And he just kept on running. And he just kept on running. He crossed the finish line. The hare woke up and realized he had lost the race. And I want to tell you tonight, I don't care where they classify you. I got a lot more weight to carry around than what most people here in this church. I wrote Anthony Munoz a letter thanking him for my shoes. He's a football player from Cincinnati Bengals. He gave me 8 pair of shoes. A sister that goes to Holiness Church, the pastor you met today has a little church. His name's Mike Allen. A sister in his church cleans Anthony Munoz's house. He had 8 pair of nice looking shoes and said, you know anybody wears a size 15? They said, yes, we do. I gave enough shoes away. God said, it's finally time for me to start reaping. And that's what I told Anthony Munoz. I said, I had a little church in Kentucky. We were always taking clothes of them. We were always taking shoes of them. I met some people down at the thrift store before. They said, you look those shoes over? I said, there's no sense me looking them shoes over. There's never my size on those racks unless it's a miracle from God. But you know what? God, I've been searching for 2 years for boots to go hunting and fishing in. I mean nice boots that I could never find my size. Anthony Munoz gave me 2 pair of them. And it looked like they're brand new, Brother Ronnie. And I wrote him a long card. And I said, I go to the Pentecostal Highway Holiness Church. I'm a preacher. I'm about 6'4" and 300 and some pounds. Well, I didn't tell him how much the sum is. But I said, you're invited to my church. I said, because I'd like the people at our church to see somebody I've got to look up to. But he just might come. And you know what? I'm not going to treat him any better or any worse than I did that doctor came into our service. Because brothers and sisters, they may have some things the world's got to offer, but we're rich tonight. We're running the race. Thank God we're saved. Glory to God. Good to see you, Mike. Hang in there. God's going to help you. We're rich tonight, brothers and sisters. We're on our way to heaven. Thank God you may be in the valley. They may things look like they're worse and getting worse. But just keep on running. Keep on pressing. I told Anthony Munoz, I said, you bless me because God moved on your heart and it was time to me to receive. Thank God. I didn't say this, but I prayed over the letter and I said, God, for 2 weeks now I've been trying to find me a suit. I've been all over Tri-County looking for a 56 long, and I even went to some men's warehouses and I wasn't about to pay their price, but I just wanted to see if they had something on clearance, and they said, we don't carry 56 long. I said, God, would you move on Anthony Munoz's heart when he outgrows some of those Irish or some of those oh glory to God, some of those fancy suits. Would you move on his heart to say, move him on down the line to that preacher? Now when I come walking in a $500 suit some night, don't you think I've wasted God's money? But I'm believing God. Well, thank God. There's more I could tell. We're just blessed tonight. We're blessed. And I'm thankful I'm still in the race. Are you? Thank God. Hope I didn't kill the spirit, but let's all raise our hands. Lord, as we gather in to pray, would you touch this service tonight? Thank you for this service we had this morning. Your great power was here. Your great anointing, Lord. I'm thankful, God, at men to give their life to further your kingdom and the effect they've had on me, God. Oh, Lord, help us now in Jesus' name to get in one mind, one accord, and get in and worship God and move a little closer towards the goal. Hallelujah. Let's all come and pray. Let's all come and pray. Since God brought him into my life.